Presbyterian Church of Ulster, we present Let the Bible Speak. It's good to have you join us today as we spend time around the Word of God, preaching Christ in all His fullness to men and women in all their need.
To unite our hearts in a word of prayer this evening, please. Our eternal Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for the great privilege and the great joy of being able to enter into Thy presence tonight at the throne of heavenly grace. We thank Thee for this access that has been granted to us through the Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank Thee for the great privilege of being able to gather together and to come and to worship Thee in the singing of the hymns, and to sit under the preaching of Thy precious word. And Father, we pray that as we have gathered here, that You will be pleased to draw near unto us. We pray for Thy servant as he would come and open up Thy word. We pray that You'll fill him full of God the Holy Ghost. Teach us and instruct us through Thy word. And we ask that all that is said and done tonight would be for Thy honour and for Thy glory alone. For it's in Christ's precious and worthy name we ask. Amen. We're turning to Romans chapter 5 for our scripture reading. Romans chapter 5, we're going to commence at the beginning of the chapter, the verse number 1. God's word says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand, and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. Amen. We trust the Lord would add his blessing to the public reading of his word. We're going to sing another hymn tonight. I found a friend in Jesus. He's everything to me.
Service, but I do want to draw your attention to God's word and to read the first two verses of Romans chapter 5. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. There is a story told many, many years ago about a young boy in America who spent all that he had on a steamboat ticket to get him down to New Orleans, Louisiana. Idalia left his station there at Cincinnati, Ohio, as he traveled down the Mississippi River, over 1,000 miles in length. In fact, it took him over 3 weeks to travel to his chosen destination. But he was this young boy every night, when the dinner bell would ring, would often retire back to his bedroom because he had spent everything that he had on his ticket. In fact, befriending somebody on the boat, his friends soon realized that he was always missing at dinner time. And they were plucking up the courage one day. He asked this young boy, "Why don't you join us at dinner time?" The boy was deeply embarrassed. He said, "I spent everything that I had on the steamboat ticket, and therefore I couldn't afford the food there on the dinner deck at dinner time." The man laughed. He says, "Take out your ticket." And the young boy, taking out his ticket, he soon discovered it said, "All meals included." And oftentimes we can laugh at a story like this, but oftentimes we've committed the same offense ourselves. Oftentimes we have been low of heart, we have lived in despondency, we have been sullen of our spirit. Why? Because we have not read the ticket of God's word, that when God has saved us, he has given us many different blessings and privileges in the Lord Jesus Christ. In fact, that's what the Apostle Paul is clearly revealing to us here in Romans chapter 5. He says, at the moment of justification, at the moment of your salvation, there were many benefits given to you. And to encourage your heart this evening, to lift your spirit, I want us to look at the wonderful benefits that God has given to us in salvation that we see here in these first two verses of Romans chapter 5. In fact, notice first of all, he has gifted us peace with God. Peace with God. Because in Romans chapter 5 and verse 1 we read, "Therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." Indeed, this is the first of a series of affirmations that the Apostle Paul makes about those who have been declared righteous by God. He says that they have peace with God. In fact, this word peace was an old military metaphor that depicted two wars that were formerly at war with another. But through the wonderful process of reconciliation, that warfare and hostility had now deceased. In fact, a wonderful illustration of that is found in the Revolutionary War. Because back at that time, a spy by the name of Michael Whitman, being discovered in the Continental Army ranks, he was tried and found guilty for passing over invaluable information to the British Army. In fact, being tried and found guilty for spying and espionage, he was sentenced to death by hanging. But on the evening before he was to be hanged, a man by the name of Peter Miller, asking to see General Washington, he interceded on his behalf that Washington would pardon Michael Whitman. General George Washington could hardly believe his ears. "What? Pardon this man Whitman? A man who had sought to betray us and destroy us? I could never be lenient to such a traitor. And for that reason, I will not pardon your friend." Peter Miller said, "Friend? He's no friend of mine. He's my bitterest enemy. In fact, for years he persecuted me. In fact, on one occasion he spat in my face, and because of his rank, he knew I couldn't react. Sir Washington, Michael Whitman is no friend of mine." Washington was puzzled. And he says, "You still want me to pardon this man?" Miller says, "I do. And I want you to do it as a personal favor for me." Washington, bewildered, looked at him. He says, "Well, answer me this question. Why?" "Because that is exactly what Jesus Christ has done for me." And Washington was so impressed with his answer, he went into the next room and came back with the pardon papers for Michael Whitman. A man or woman here this evening, that's the wonderful truth of the gospel. We were once at war with God, his bitterest enemy. And yet God and his Son came and interceded on our behalf, shed his own precious blood, that we, his enemies, may know peace and pardon with God. You see, that hostility, that division and dissension that we once knew with our Creator, because of the blood of the Lamb, we now have peace, wonderful peace with him. And it's objective peace. Christ dying at Calvary, he is firmly placed in history, that Christ has now borne out all the wrath of God's holy justice. You know, so often believers, they fall for the age-old lie that peace with God is based on feelings rather than fact. So often they think to themselves, just because I don't feel that God is at peace with me and God is now a friend of me, that I now must be not seen, that I must now have lost my salvation. In fact, many nights, Christians, just because they don't feel and they think that their peace with God is based on feelings, they don't get a wink of sleep. In fact, they often ask God to save them again. But get this, child of God. There's two different pieces in Scripture. In Philippians chapter 4 and verses 6 to 7, Paul speaks of the peace of God. And that speaks of your subjective experience. But when Paul writes here of the wonderful privilege you got in Christ, in Romans 5 and 1, this is peace with God. In other words, it's an objective fact. In the moment you put faith and trust in Jesus Christ, God then declared in heaven, I am no longer at war with you. And as you base your mind and your heart upon that wonderful truth, that God has declared that the war is over, you then enjoy that peace of mind, the peace of God. In fact, look at that verse again. It says, we have peace. It's in the present tense. It's a continual possession, one we will enjoy for the rest of eternity. And everyone, you don't feel like you have peace with God, get back to the book, read that ticket. And as you read that ticket, you will see that God is no longer at war with your soul. You see, the first wonderful privilege that we have in salvation, out of this wonderful truth of justification, is that we have peace with God. Not only do we have peace with God, but notice also we have access into this grace. Because we read in Romans chapter 5 and verse 2, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand. Indeed, the first question that sprang to my mind while I read the second affirmation of the Apostle Paul is, what is this grace? The terminology here, it seems to be very specific, as if he is listing out one particular gift that God has given us. And as I considered and went back to Romans 5 and 1, I found that the answer lay in the context. Because there in verse 1 we read, therefore being justified by faith. In other words, this wonderful gift is a gift of justification. In fact, in verse 10 we read, after when he speaks of this grace, he uses this phrase, wherein we stand. And it's a legal phrase, referring to our legal position before the law of God. And ever what Paul is revealing here, he's revealing that when God declared you righteous, he was declaring you righteous before his law. That no longer the law of God could bar you from his presence. But now you could come in boldly into the presence of Jesus Christ. In other words, Paul is saying, we have now received access into this grace to stand as righteous before the law of God. Paul is revealing the wonderful truth that God in his grace, when he saw the blood, and when he gave that wonderful gift of faith to you to lean and to rest on that blood, God then, out of the graciousness of his heart, he declared you righteous. You can come in to his presence. Indeed, I remember years ago, back when I was training for the ministry, oftentimes we would retire in the afternoon for dinner. And on one occasion, by 5 o'clock, they would let you go off and read your notes just to get ready for that evening service. And as I read over the notes, I thought I was getting on well. And then when I went to the door, to my shock and horror, the handle was broken. I couldn't get out of that room. And for over an hour, I pushed and pushed at that handle, tried many different ways, even got out scissors at one stage, trying to wedge the door open, but I couldn't. And realizing the service was coming, drawing near, I finally cried out to my embarrassment, somebody come and help me. You know what happened? As soon as I cried for help, somebody came running up the stairs and opened the door. And that's just exactly what God has done for us in Christ. When we cried for help and put our faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, God in heaven opened up the door by declaring us righteous. But get this wonderful truth, child of God. Not only did he open the door, he took a wonderful wage and he jammed the door open for all of eternity. You see, what's the tense of this verb here? The tense is this. We have had access and continue to have access to God through our Lord Jesus Christ. You see, through the wonderful gift of God declaring us righteous, we now have constant access into His presence. Indeed, oftentimes, again, as we fall to feelings and let the devil come into our hearts and begin to disturb our peace, so often we don't come to the Lord's table. We don't come to the place of prayer. We don't come and ask God for His grace because we believe that the door is closed. But what does God say in His book? I opened that door, and it's open for all of eternity. You will always have access into My presence. See, once while we were in sin, we were fallen. But now, standing in Christ, we are righteous before the Father. And the door is continually open. Get a child of God. Keep that ticket in your hand and read it daily. God has given you wonderful access into His presence. But notice also another benefit that we find here in this salvation is also that we can rejoice in hope. We can rejoice in hope. Because we're reading the second part of this verse of Romans chapter 5 and 2. And rejoice in hope of the glory of God. You know, while previously the Apostle Paul began each benefit with the verb we have, we notice in this third benefit, he doesn't say we have. He says we rejoice. We rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. And what is Paul seeking to indicate to us? He's saying with the first two benefits, it's a current possession. It's in your hand, child of God, and it's there forevermore. You have peace and access to your Heavenly Father. But with this third benefit, the glory of God, we haven't yet received it. It's still in the future, but justification is guaranteed it. God declaring us righteous, we will be glorified, but we haven't yet got it in our hands. But what does Paul say we can do presently? He says that we can rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. He says that this present time, child of God, yes, we're not glorified, but we can have joy in our hearts. We can rejoice in this wonderful truth because God has declared us righteous. God is one day going to perfect that work and glorify us forevermore. You see, this word glory, it means, or it's the promise, that one day God will make us fellow partakers and sharers of His glory. In fact, do you not remember Moses? Moses going up into Mount Sinai and sitting in the presence of God. What happened to Moses? His face shone with the radiance of God. A wonderful glimpse of glorification. That when we see Jesus Christ one day, we will then shine in His glory. In fact, 1 John chapter 3 and verse 2, the Apostle John writes, Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. John reveals that when we see our Savior, we will be conformed perfectly into His image. And therefore, knowing that truth, that should thrill our hearts. You know, oftentimes, and for every Christian heart, one of the greatest frustrations is letting the Lord down. We can resolve with all of our spirit to walk in the path of holiness. And yet, oftentimes, because of the weakness of the flesh, we let the Lord down. And our hearts are sore. The tears run down our cheeks readily because we have let down our Savior. Well, here's the promise of glorification. God said in Revelation, He shall wipe away all tears. In other words, God is not only going to deliver, as He has done, us from the power of sin, but He's going to rid us of the presence of sin. No longer will we feel the Lord again. You see, that should thrill our hearts. That because God has declared us righteous, one day in glory, we will never let the Lord down. In fact, that word hope here, so often, because of the present times, we think that this word means, I hope so, or I hope it doesn't rain tomorrow, but I don't think that it will. We often use this word hope in our present day as a word that is synonymous with wishes or dreams, a term that expresses doubt rather than certainty. But that wasn't the mind of the writers of this Bible. When the King James writers translated these scriptures, they were seeking to reveal the Greek word behind it that meant certainty. Certainty. In other words, because God has promised it, God's hand is going to give it. He will never withhold his promises from his children. In fact, when I was younger, my mother used to often bribe me to get my homework done. She'd say to me, "Andrew, if you go upstairs and do all your work and are as quiet as a mouse, I'll give you a big slice of apple tart after your homework." And I went upstairs and got all my homework done. And then when tea time came, I walked down like a Cheshire cat. All the smile was from ear to ear. My chest was hanging out. I thought I was a king walking down those stairs. Why? Because I knew what my mum promised. My mum would deliver. She would give me that apple tart. And child of God, we should be walking as kings in this world. We should never be sorry of heart. We should never be sullen of spirit. God in his grace has saved us. He has given us peace with God, access into his presence, and the wonderful promise of his glory. Have you ever wondered, how could the martyrs go to the stake and bear such persecution? In fact, we read back in Psalm chapter 34 in the verse 5, he says, "They looked on him and were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed." In other words, those martyrs, when they went to the stake, they had a smile. They were able to sing the hymns of Zion because they knew this wasn't the end. Glory was awaiting them. And therefore they met it with a great smile and gladness of heart. And yes, child of God, there'll be many trials. There'll be many valleys to travel through this life. But this is what gets us through the valleys. This is what gives us strength of spirit. Knowing that God has promised us glory. Paul says this suffering is only for a moment. But glory is for all of eternity. Child of God, get hold of that truth. Don't be like that boy on the boat, not reading the ticket, living life misery of not eating the best food on the boat. Don't be like that. Read God's word. He's given you peace. He's given you access. And he's given you the promise of the glory of God. Let's bow our heads together in a word of prayer. Our Father in heaven, we thank thee for the wonderful gift of salvation. We thank thee, Lord, that when we were rebels and sinners against thee, yet we thank thee, Lord, by thy precious blood, Lord, you interceded in our behalf. And Lord, you worked out this wonderful peace. We thank thee, Lord, this peace is for eternity. We thank thee, Lord, that his access is forevermore. And Lord, we thank that the best is yet to come. Because the doors of heaven being opened to us, we will one day walk through those gates and sit in thy presence. So Lord, may that truth thrill every heart here tonight. And may we hold on to it forevermore. For I ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Thank you for spending some time with us today around the Word of God. For further information, visit our website at ltbs.tv. We look forward to joining with you next time as we seek to let the Bible speak once again.